whatever you do, no limits to your growth. Just go for it. And, you know, whatever you're doing, seriously, just put yourself out there, because that's when the magic happens, right? So, hi there, everyone. Now, today we are going to talk about a really important topic, which is, why aren't there more female CEOs? Now, it seems like a really straightforward question, but the reality is it's one that does not have a straightforward answer. Now, I've been in business for 30 years, both as a corporate CEO running very large global travel businesses for within, you know, FTSE 250, FTSE 100 organizations, and also as an entrepreneur myself, you know, with a portfolio of my own businesses today. So I have very much been, you know, in the forefront, shall we say, of this topic for many, many, many years. It's something I'm incredibly passionate about. And, you know, we've made massive progress. We absolutely have. But there is so much more that we need to do, of course. So it's a really important topic. Why aren't there more female CEOs? Well, listen, let's take a look at some of the facts, right? Because I don't want to be focusing on the negatives. I really want to focus on the progress we've made, some of the rationale as to why diversity, equity, and inclusion, both in the perspective of gender, but also wider diversity, equity, and inclusion makes sense, right? I can't believe in 2024, we're still talking about this as a topic, but here we are, and we are, because we haven't made as much progress as we would like to see. So the reality is, if you look at the stats, right, so if you have a look at, say, university graduates, it's pretty much 50-50 male female. So why is it then that when we actually get to, you know, women running businesses and running the largest organizations, you know, if you take the top 100 businesses in the UK, the FTSE 100 businesses, 10% of those are ran by women, right? 10%, 90% by men. Now, this is not, please do not get me wrong, this is not about bashing men and upping women, because actually we all have great gifts that we bring to a role. But there is definitely a disconnect, in particular in today's world, right? And when you actually look at some of the global research done by S&P, the global average is that only 5.4% of CEOs are women. So it shows there's more work to be done. Now, when we look at broader board positions, you know, the numbers are significantly higher, and there's definitely been a huge progress made there. But nonetheless, we have a very small proportion of women running the largest organizations, both in the UK, but also in other parts of the world, right? Now, the facts should speak for themselves, but let me just share with you some of the really hard data that makes the case to why having diverse executive boards, diverse leadership teams, diverse teams in general makes absolute sense. I'm going to read some of these out. This is from data done by Korn Ferry, who are one of the largest recruitment headhunter businesses globally. So it's very, very robust, this. But let me tell you, what Korn Ferry found was that those businesses that had diverse teams, diverse boards, actually had 70% higher growth. They had 75% faster rate to market. They were 36% more profitable than those businesses that do not have diverse teams, diverse boards, 19% more innovation in those organizations, and 87% of the decisions made were better decisions than in organizations that do not have diverse teams. And the last point is that, in terms of being admired companies, 87% of organizations that have diverse teams and diverse boards were more admired. So the case is absolutely clear. Quite frankly, diverse teams, diverse boards make more money, have a better position in the market, attract more people to the organization. So the case should be really, really simple and clear. And yet here we are, we find ourselves in 2024 still with a very, very low proportion of female CEOs. So why is it? Well, it's really complex, right? And there's many, many, many reasons why, you know, we're playing catch up really in terms of the gender diversity, equity and inclusion. And of course, I'm an advocate, not just for gender diversity, but for all diversity, whether it's disability, race, LGBTQ+. Every single person has value and has something to add to an organization. So we really need to focus on making our mark in the world, making sure there are opportunities for everyone, regardless of social background, regardless of color, race, gender, disability, sexual orientation, etc. So I'm very passionate about this, as you can tell. But some of the reasons why we are where we are, I guess, partly it is cultural. You know, there are some well-established norms, and in certain parts of the world, you know, it's even more pronounced than in the Western societies and developed countries. So, you know, it can be very, very deep-rooted, some of this stuff. There are very traditional industries, aren't there, which have been male-dominated for many, many years. So there's a piece around really challenging those norms, really pushing the boundaries. So we've, in a lot of cases, we've got a long history of a focus towards male sectors, male-focused industries, etc. There are some preconceptions around as well, right? Around, oh, well, you know, women can't do an engineering job, or women don't make you know, good mechanics, or women don't make great pilots, etc., etc. You know, so there's lots of misconceptions which have led to where we are today. You know, and then if we look at organizations, often the systems and the policies have got inbred biases because they have not been updated. They are not fit for purpose for today. So in a lot of organizations, there's work to be done that actually will help with the whole diversity, equity and inclusion piece. You know, often it's a lack of strategic focus for an organization. It may well be that, you know, it's not at the top of the agenda for the CEO and for the executive board. Therefore, there aren't the right, you know, KPIs, there aren't the right policies, there aren't the right initiatives and projects in place because it's not recognized as being important. And of course, we have bias, we have lack of role models, and sometimes women themselves will hold themselves back as well, you know, and sometimes it can be a mindset piece, confidence, dealing with imposter syndrome, pushing out of your comfort zone, you know, it is different. And this is not about men being better or worse than women, or women being better or worse than men, not at all. So it's a topic I'm really passionate about. It's a topic that I know many of you are very passionate about. So what can be done? Well, listen, there's loads of progress that has been made, and we should really recognize where we are making progress. Absolutely. But there's always more to do, isn't there? So let's have a look at some of what may be on that more to do list. Okay. So the first thing I would say is for any organization that really wants to shift the dial when it comes to, you know, gender diversity, equity and inclusion, in particular, making sure that you're creating the right pathway to have more female CEOs, more female MDs, more female senior leaders, whatever it might be. It has to be a strategic focus. It must come from the top of the organization, and then it must be filtered all of the way down so that, you know, it isn't just a token gesture. And as part of that, you know, there's a piece around holding leaders accountable. So what are you doing to make sure your teams are diverse? How are you recruiting? How are you training? How are you developing your pipeline of female talent? So holding accountability. And I see in a lot of organizations where they've had great success, one is a strategic priority for the CEO, either for her or for him, whoever is in that role. But also that can be built into objectives, bonuses, KPIs, etc. Now, personally, I am not a believer in having just sort of targets for target's sake, you know, the tokenism. I don't believe in that. But actually, there is a piece around what gets measured gets done. So recruitment, you know, are you actually having a broad pipeline of recruitment and candidates at the early stage? Because that's going to be really important for you, actually, when you're actually trying to attract talent into your organization, in particular female talent. You know, have a good look at the policies that you have in place. For example, you know, what about your back to work policies once women have left to have children? And for the paternity side of things, as well as maternity, you know, are your policies flexible enough to allow for working mums to be able to also, you know, get back into the roles that they really want to do to pick up their career. And it's not just about mums, you know, as our parents age, very often we have elderly parents and responsibilities in that space. So, and what are your policies in an organization? Are they fit for purpose for today? Have they got enough flexibility in there? Is there enough creativity in those policies to think differently, to think outside the box? You know, so let's just talk about roles and responsibilities. Okay, so we have certain roles that may require responsibilities, actions, etc., to be fulfilled. But is there another way? So, for example, let's take general managers of hotels. Okay, so I've been doing a lot of work with Accor Hotels, who are the largest hospitality business in Europe, Middle East, Asia, and Pacific. They're huge. They have over 5,500 hotels, 300,000 employees. So I've been working with their board and advising their board. And they have a big focus right now on female GMs, female general managers. So it's a big focus initiative for them. So when we look at that role, any role in hospitality or travel very often involves, you know, unsociable hours, doesn't necessarily kind of match naturally with sort of duties and care at home for kids, etc. So can we look creatively? Could we actually have job share? Could you have two GMs working side by side, for example? So the role gets covered, but it allows for more flexibility. So in the roles that you have in your organization, could you approach them slightly differently? It's not always possible. Of course it's not. But actually thinking outside of the box can often really get us to some alternative options available. There's a big piece around behaviors, shaping the behavioral aspects in your organizations, the culture, so that it is everyone's responsibility to create a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment where people can flourish and thrive, and women can become, you know, the boss in various areas. So these are just some of the ideas that I've got. You know, I think we've got to get rid of biases and assumptions, you know, that one role might be a man's job and someone else might be a woman's job. Let's get rid of those biases and assumptions, and let's actually boil it down. I interviewed two incredible women the other week, the Antarctic Fire Angels. So they are fire women in the Welsh Fire Brigade, and they have recently completed an exhibition from the South Pole to the Antarctic. Incredible. But that just shows you that women can achieve everything. That might be considered or historically have been considered a male type of role, and also certainly, you know, a male thing to do, to trek unaided, carrying all of your gear, you know, over 100 kilos in weight, each of them, to get to the Antarctic. Now, incredible. So we've got to throw away these assumptions. One of also the great initiatives, if you look at an organization like EasyJet, so Johan Lundgren is the group CEO of EasyJet. And there have been for many, many years, one is a strategic priority that he's put right at the top of the agenda to get more female pilots. Again, aviation, a very typically male-dominated industry. However, what they have done very successfully is they go into schools, they go, you know, they really go and talk to young girls, teenagers, around how they could have a career as a pilot. You know, and actually doing that, creating a pipeline and getting rid of those misconceptions very, very early on has been absolutely important. Mentoring and coaching is something that can massively help. You know, I mean, when I mentor from a business point of view and I work one-to-one with people, you know, it's hugely helpful to have a sounding board, to have a role model, someone that's been there, has trodden a similar path to you, what you may be trying to do, who probably a couple of steps ahead of you and is there to support, lift, guide you. So mentoring and coaching can be hugely helpful, and having those role models. If you can see another woman that has achieved what you would like to achieve, it makes it feel far more possible. And then, of course, what I would say as well, for all of us women out there, we need to help ourselves as well. We need to help each other. So the more that you can work on your mindset, your development, keeping your hand up, volunteering for projects, all of this good stuff is going to make a huge difference in terms of your career progression and your business life. So, you know, this is a jam-packed topic. As you can see, we're literally scratching the surface today, but there's so many things that we can do. And ultimately, it makes good business sense. At the end of the day, you know, that's what it's about. It's not only just, it's no longer just the right thing to do. That's a given. But actually, financially, business performance, money talks, it makes absolute sense. So there's a whole load in there. I hope it's useful for you. Think about you, yourself, your own career. Think about the organizations you're in and how you can influence some of those aspects within that organization. You know, think about how you can support other women to help them progress their career and, you know, work on your own development, your mindset. You can achieve absolutely anything you want. You know, there are no limits, genuinely, but you've just got to really put yourself out there, be genuinely brave, you know, and be bold, make that impact, leave your mark on the world. And of course, the brilliance comes with the journey along the way, the person that you become, and ultimately the people that you inspire to also show that there are no limits, that, you know, regardless of gender, regardless of social background, orientation, that you can achieve anything. You can get to the top of the organization that you want to be in. So don't let there be any barriers to your growth. And if you're leading a business, really take a long, hard look. Are you doing enough? Could you do more? Could you be more creative? What can you do? Because at the end of the day, this is going to drive more business, better financial results, as I shared with you, and also, you know, make sure that there are opportunities for everyone. So I hope it's been helpful. As I say, topic I'm incredibly passionate about. I've been fortunate enough to reach the top of very large organizations, you know, as a managing director, as a chief executive officer, and as today, you know, as a founder of my own multiple portfolio of businesses. So if I can do it, anyone can do it, because trust me, I am nothing special and I've certainly worked my way up from the bottom right the way through to top. So hope it's useful. Whatever you do, no limits to your growth. Just go for it. And, you know, whatever you're doing, seriously, just put yourself out there, because that's when the magic happens, right? So whatever you are doing today, just remember, be brave, be bold, and be brilliant. I really hope you've enjoyed Brave, Bold, Brilliant. Don't forget to subscribe and share with all your friends. And if you've enjoyed listening, I'd love it if you'd leave me a 5-star review.